Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, and welcome back to the Lisa Lisa Show. This is Lisa Lisa speaking to you live from the car. Yes, that's right. I have so much to do today, and I have to tell you that part of me was like on the fence about changing the show or canceling it, but this is such a crazy week because we have open studios this week, and I haven't even gotten my studio into shape yet. So I'm still kind of milling around with that. The weather. So it's a real actual spring day. It's just about 70 degrees now. It's like 68 or 69. A little breezy, a little chill, but I guess this is what it's supposed to feel like, right? Supposed to feel like. I like it warmer. It, the last couple of days, it was very, very warm. And I personally loved that. Speaking of really warm, I've already made my plans for the 4th of July. I don't want to rush the seasons. By God, we all know that I never want to rush the seasons. But, you know, I have tickets for the end of August, King and I. And so already I've put, like, something to look forward to at the very end of the summer. And I'm not ready for that. I haven't, you know, I'm still trying to enjoy all of it. But, you know, when you make plans for something and you're waiting for it to come, it's like it comes and then it's gone so quickly. So, albeit I am not looking forward to rushing the summer at all. And, in fact, I really wish that I could have gone to Florida, in February, because it was too freaking cold for me. But if you can go to really warm weather prior to the weather getting really warm, it's like you extend you make the season feel longer. It's a mental thing, of course. So today is an actual spring day, a little too chilly for me, but beautiful. And nonetheless, I'm not going to say anything bad about it, even though it's going to drop down to the fifth. Been okay sleeping with blankets. Rather than having to worry about putting on air conditioning, not that I would do that anyway, but I avoid it at all costs. How's that? And look at this. I have just been lucked out. I got a spot directly in front of my studio, which is fabulous because I have to take artwork to Brooklyn. And so I have so much to do and I have so little time to do it today. And I have to say that I was up super early because I kind of knew I had to get my day going quickly, and I was up really early, but I got back in bed for a few minutes and was just reading for a little while. I have to say, I think I really love being able to, you know, just lay in bed and read for a minute or two. Now, I have to tell you, I'm going up to my studio, so if we get disconnected, I certainly will call back, and so just bear with me. It won't take long. I just have to run up, and I'm going to do the rest of the show from the studio, and then I have to come down and deliver artwork. So just bear with the noise. My apologies, but I got very, very lucky. I got a spot immediately. I guess I always get a spot immediately. It's one of those things where I kind of just picture it, bam, there it is. So, all in all, very good. Okay, echo of the hallway. So, I started to say, we have the open studios this weekend. And, you know, I'm trying to think that every single year I get ready for it by, I guess I prep my studio the week before. Well, I have been so busy with other things that I've been a slacker on this front. So there you go. All my apologies. So this is Lisa Lisa from the studio. Yay! Yay team! That always makes me so happy. Anyway, so generally speaking, what happens is I start prepping the week before. The only thing that I have done is I've made more prints of my paintings. Now, that's a good thing, but the slightly bad thing about this is that
I have to get them matted. So all the money that I have to lay out right now in the hopes of all sorts of good sales, let's put it that way, that I'm envisioning things selling. So I was doing the math. All the money that I've put into printing and all the money that I've made out of selling the prints, and I have to say on the head, but I don't know, it's kind of crazy. It's like, you know, if something good happens, I don't know about other people, but the way I do things. So if somebody's interested in something, I then run out and I am very proactive and I go and I stock up in the hopes of making sales. You know, somebody one time told me, a friend of mine, a very good friend of mine, who I'm not really friends with anymore, but we were friends for years and years and years. He said, when you make it big, when you make a lot of money, when it all happens and everything is good, do not change anything in your life. And I'm thinking, well, I don't know, is that good advice? Because truthfully, if something great changes, I mean, if something amazing happens, aren't you going to have a change? Aren't things going to naturally change just in general, the order of things? You know, everybody always says that, my mother says it the most, not making a decision is making a decision. So he was like, don't change anything major because then you're going to be in the same conundrum and the same quandary. And I'm thinking, you know, if something fabulous happens, I'm not going to sit back and not change certain things in my life, you know? So I don't know. Was that really good advice or is that like, you know, it's like being, it's like being an investor. Okay? There's three types of investors. I'm sure there's far more, but there's three basic types of investors. The conservative, the aggressive, and the moderate, right? Now, the conservative is afraid to make large moves. So they invest, sound things. Now, it's still an investment. Is it really sound? What is sound? Something that's not going to be volatile, something that's not going to move up and down quickly, you know, just in general. And then you have the moderate, like the person that's like, I want to take chances, but I don't want to be overly out there. I don't want to be like, I don't want my head hanging out or my butt hanging out, whatever. And then you have the aggressor that's like, I want to take chances. I'm a risk taker. I want to, you know, play the market like to the fullest. So you have those are like the three, the main, right? So you have the conservative, the moderate, and the aggressor. So this friend of mine basically saying, don't change anything if and when it all happens. I would say that he's the conservative. Now, I've always been pretty moderate as far as it goes, but I'm very aggressive in a lot of other areas. So I'm thinking that, you know, if things do dramatically change as they're going to, I am going to be very proactive and change a lot of things. I'm thinking, you know, snowbird all the way. And it's not so much Florida, although I know my family really is going to Florida. I'm still thinking West Coast or, you know, middle of the country, Arizona. I still love New Mexico. But, you know, so there are things, there are places, there's a whole bunch of stuff. There's a whole host of things. There's 50 states. I could go anywhere. Anyway, but that's just that whole idea, that the whole concept of being somewhere warm. So here I'm thinking, you know, what I'm doing with my studio, and I'm really on the fence because I'm like, I want to get out of the space, I want a window, and I'm ready to take a sledgehammer and break a wall like Robert Irvine. Give me a sledgehammer. I don't think I'd be breaking into any outdoor walls, though. That's the problem. There are no outdoor walls here. And if I try to take another space in this building, which I found out yesterday, we have 15. 15 available spaces, two have been rented, so 15 are left. And the whole thing with this is that the prices are only going up, and they're all more expensive than what I've got. So already I'm not in the good place, you know, as far as that goes. Like, where is it going? What am I going to do? I don't know. So that's my thing. Interesting as that may be to all of you. Anyway, so, all right. So getting to the show part of my show, because I'm always doing this something, and, you know. So last night I actually watched Young Catherine, which is the story of Catherine the Great. And I have to tell you, whenever I watch a movie or watch something before I go to bed, I can't stop thinking about it. It's very hard. It's like, generally, if I don't watch TV before I go to bed, or if I put the TV on, it's usually nothing important if I turn it on at night before I go to bed. But last night, one of my friends and I had dinner and then went back to my house, and we were watching a movie and just, you know, chilling out. And so I taped all these movies because I figured, you know, well, it's just a good thing to have a whole bunch of movies that you have a choice in case you don't want to watch Netflix and you don't want to go to the theater and you don't want to, you know, rent a movie. Anyway, so we're watching Young Catherine. And funny, the main actress in that, I had no idea that she was so much older now. She's 50. And I always thought that she was like, well, I don't know. I couldn't place anything that she was in. And then we did an IMBD and found out who she was. And I have to tell you right now, I cannot think of her name for the life of me, but I know her face. And it was a pretty good cast. I just thought that she was still, you know, younger, like 20s, 30s, 30s, I guess. So I'm not saying 50s old, but I didn't think that she was that old. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, so, so here's what I was thinking. Because if I watch something before I go to bed, I can't stop thinking about it. Okay, so, if Catherine the Great did not, you know, succeed her husband, I guess his name was Peter, the emperor, would Russia have been what it is? Obviously not, because he didn't adhere to the same things that she, the things that were important to her that she adhered to. One of them was the church. So funny how everybody was like so, you know, when you watch all those movies about Elizabeth and about Bloody Mary and, you know, all these historical, I say movies, but it's all the historical fact of how things went. And what Peter did, I think the son's name was Paul. It was Paul the Great was her son. I think Peter was the husband. So every time that they were about to embark on a victory, he pulled the troops out. And the last one was Germany. They were right at the gates, they were right there. They were at the door of Germany, and they pulled out. So you have to wonder what would have happened. You know, would Hitler have come into power? What would have changed historically? Like, can you think about all these things going forward? What would have changed if these things went all the way, if they followed through and they didn't, you know, pull back at that final hour? So would Russia have been the same? So Catherine the Great really adhered to the church, you know, and the way that Russia was. Like, she kept true to what it was. She just followed suit and went forward. So it was still a Christian country, and it was still, you know, there were all these sanctions and factions that were, and they stayed in place. And all I was thinking was, like, he was so against the church, and he was so, you know, he was going to really uproot and change things dramatically. It probably at the time would have been a collapse I can't imagine it wouldn't have been a collapse, because if he turned his back on the church then, I just wonder, like, going forward, would Russia have been far more liberal rather than, you know, would they still have been a communist? Would it still have been the way it was? It's like that, to me, that aspect is so interesting. And everybody was like, they were so proud of her that she was so, you know, and I'm not saying that he was good, and the way they portray him, he's kind of an idiot. And they ended up killing him. But it's just like, I'm just thinking forward what would have happened, you know, having a different, complete and utter change. That's what I was thinking. Anyway, it was just a thought, because after I watch those things before I go to bed, I can't stop thinking about those things. Hence, I like to read before I go to bed, because then I'm thinking about what I've read. And then I can focus on my day and all the things that I've done and yada, 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 yada. So anyway, so I'm going to one of the art fairs tonight. I think it's at the VIA building. I'm pretty sure it's the VIA fair. So there's going to be a whole host of openings. So tonight's the VIP opening, and it's from 6 to 10. So I will definitely be there. And I actually wore a skirt, but I think it's too cold for a skirt. So I changed into a pair of jeans. The last pair of jeans, well, it's probably the last time I can wear them before they become my next pair of painting jeans, because they have really worn themselves thin. And I didn't notice until the last time I washed them. So they're nice and clean. And I have to say, putting them on, you feel like they could just go at any moment. But they're still unpainted. There's no stains of paint. Whereas its partner pair are covered, laden with all sorts of paint, because I was painting furniture. And for some really crazy reason, when I paint furniture, I get more paint on me than when I paint a painting. I'm not exactly sure why. I don't know. It's just, I don't know. The way it goes, right? So I've been making these sculptures that are for fish tanks. And everybody's been telling me they want tall and tall and tall and tall and thinner and thinner and thinner. So I made a really cool sculpture, and it was fired the first time. Now, usually when something's fired the first time, it's all good. Nothing's going to happen. But for some odd reason, when I glazed it and fired it again, it broke in three pieces. Now, I'm thinking that because I glazed the bottom and it wasn't on silt, that it stuck to the kiln, and upon trying to remove it, upon removal, it stuck and it broke. So it doesn't sound like it was very sound to begin with. And so I'm making two, and the first one that I've done, it's like a really long coral looking piece, and it's really long and narrow. Well, it's not so, it's kind of narrow. It's really interesting, though, but it's long. And it has a bottom where it stands, sort of like the sculptures that I've done that are, you know, that are not vertical, that are not horizontal, not vertical. Hello. Not verticals, but are horizontal. But they look more like landscape horizontal. So there's lots of vertical pieces coming out of them, but they're horizontal as they stand. They take up more space. I don't know. Anyway. So there you have it. So I did a corally looking piece, and I had to wrap it up last night because this clay is a little thinner than my, no, I'm sorry, not thinner, more wet. It's a little more wet. It takes longer for it to set up, and I like to carve and play with them, so I do them so quickly that in order for them to be able to hold and stay by themselves, you have to cover them with plastic and let them dry slowly so that you can continue to work on it wet rather than just carving into them. Carving in is nice, but a little more intense, labor-intensive, and what happens is it can make the piece a little more brittle. When it's still wet and pliable, you can fix it, correct it, and it's just a little bit more easy to add to and extend and create. Anyway, so open studios this week, and I have to say that I'm going to be like so crazy busy. It's just, I haven't done anything to get myself ready. Oh, so I started to tell you. So I sold these. I was trying to figure out how many I've actually sold versus how I went crazy and started printing tons and tons and tons of them and then matting them. And I've gone to quite an expense with the prints. And I'm thinking that for like the maybe close to 100 prints that I've made, because I didn't print one thing. I printed 15 or 20 different things, several different series of work. In fact, I had to take an inventory. So I have two different tombstone pieces. So that's one series. I did the window pane. I did three pieces in that series. So that's two series. I did the trees. And in the trees, I did 5 different variations of trees. So that's three series. So that's 10 different pieces of artwork, all watercolor. I did the invasion and containment stuff, which are kind of mixed up because some are landscapes, some are narratives, I guess you'd say. And others are, you know, kind of, you know, just fun stuff. Oh, I forgot the happy dragon. I think I did a print of that one, too. So, 5 different series, because I also did some of my abstracts that are the paintings that are the blue and the red. So, 6 different series of 1, 2, 3, 4 of paintings, all watercolors, and I went crazy and started printing them. And then, so now I had to figure out how many prints of each series. And I have to say, I think I had to take the number way down. I think I made it too high, because the truth of the matter is, you don't want to over flood the market yourself, mainly yourself. So I was like trying to figure out how many I've sold versus how many I've printed. And it looks like the numbers are just ridiculously out of proportion. I think it's better to have people want something and then you make it special for them. No, maybe that's not the way to go. I don't know, because I think that sometimes spontaneity, and it's like the impulse buy. You know, you're in the supermarket and you get up to the counter and then you see the candy and you go, "Ooh, I have to have that." And then you buy it. Now, would you have purchased that candy if it were not in front of you? Absolutely not, because you wouldn't have thought about it, you wouldn't have seen it, and you wouldn't have said, "Oh, I need that. Oh, I want that. Oh, I have to have that." So if somebody's looking at your artwork, unless they've made a point that they're going to come and buy it, and even then people are slack and don't show up for years, and they keep you on a string telling you, "I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming," and they never really do. So it's one of those things, you know, where you say, is it better to have that they can take it on a whim, or is it better to wait and make them as they want them? So if you wait and you make it as they want them, I don't think they're coming back for them. And I think that if you make them, and now you've got so much inventory, now you're not selling them. You know, it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't, that type of thing. It's always interesting, the whole impulse buy. And then there are always people that say they want something. And then you talk to them about it. Okay, I'm definitely going to do that. You tell them, listen, having a show, maybe it'd be better if you buy it at the show. And then they totally forget. Oh, did I say I wanted something? I don't remember. And that happens as well. So impulse buy versus make an order. I want something, but I think this might be a better time to buy. It's never good. It's like, when you see it, buy it. If you want it, take it. You know, I had a friend that used to say, and I've said this 1,000 times, she used to say, if I see something and I really want it and it's really expensive, I'll think about it and then I won't buy it. What I'll do is, if I think about it for X amount. So say it's $700. She said that if she would think about it for a week, if it stayed on her mind, oh, I want that, oh, I want that, oh, I want that, seven times in, you know, 1 week, she'll go back and she'll buy it because her time is worth money. And to her, $100 a day is a fair assessment of her time to think about it. And say, oh, that's interesting. Okay. So I've been thinking about Cartier forever, but I still don't have the $10,000 for the watch. Oh, that's too funny. And actually, technically, there's a ring. I'd rather have a Cartier ring. It's a diamond pave heart, a diamond pave oval covered with rock crystal. Gorgeous. I remember the first time I ever saw that. I don't think that they make them anymore. I think it was like, you know, they had it. And if they have it, it's a special order item. Like, they might still have it, but they're not making it anymore. So you'd have to, like, seek it out. Yeah, I remember one time, a good 10 years ago, walking around the city with a friend that was in town from out of town. And we were just window shopping on Madison Avenue, and we decided to go into Cartier. And I remember looking at that ring and saying, oh, I want this ring. And he said, well, if you marry me, I'll buy you that as a wedding ring, your engagement ring. And I said, yeah, I think I'll take a pass. Anyway, so has everybody seen how much pollen and debris there is in the street from the trees? My car, my blue car, is actually green right now. It's got that yellow stuff on it, and so the blue and the yellow make green, and I have a yellow tint. So my car looks green where I'm sitting and driving. And I have to say that I don't really have allergies, and it's only once in a blue moon that I do. And I have to say that right now I am experiencing allergies over the top. It's like I'm congested, and my eyes actually are a little irritated, very unusual for me. And I actually was trying to find, I have something at home that's actually an allergy medicine. So I pulled it out of the cabinet, and I decided I'm going to read it before I take it. And it said, you cannot operate machinery if you take this. So I did not take this. So I am suffering right now. And it was funny because I was like all good yesterday. So when I get home, I think I may take this and try to sleep and see if that helps with my rest. Wow, that was so incredibly fast. So 90 seconds. So I started to pull something out. I wanted to read something and tell you something very quickly. And it's kind of more an announcement again. So place that I'm having my show at the end of June. We're hanging the work on June 23rd, and the opening reception will be June 30th. Of course, you know I'm going to mention this 60 seconds. You know I'm going to mention this 100 times. That's at Witten Wim in Port Washington. So right now she's fundraising for the Coalition for Substance Abuse. That's May. June is going to be Helen Keller, and July is going to be Sandpoint Reserve. Preserve, excuse me. There's no jam there. Preserve. So I have to say something really funny. Why is it that everybody always fundraises for things that are like so mainstream that everybody always gives money to those things anyway? And nobody ever does anything that's like really local or not mainstream. That's what I'd like to know. So Catherine the Great didn't make any great changes. All she did was she kept it the same. She stayed true to what it was. And they called her Catherine the Great because she outwitted and outruled her crazy, really unattractive husband, who was kind of a jerky guy. And I have to tell you, they did not portray him very well. So I have to say that really, really was a jerky guy. And I can't think of her name. So if you look up young Catherine and you'll see this actress. She was in so many things. I'm telling you, the list is quite long. And then every time we mentioned it, I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that movie. And when you see her face, you're like, oh, yeah, of course I know who she is. And, of course, I can't tell you her name. So don't ask. Anyway, I will, I'm sure, do a retort next week and amend my wayward way with her name. So I will fix that next week. Anyway, this is Lisa Lisa of The Lisa Lisa Show. Open studios this weekend, Friday 5 to 7, I will be here. And Saturday 1 to 6, again, I will be here. Sunday, I think it's noon to 5, and I don't know if I'll be here. Sell like crazy Friday and Saturday, then of course I will be here. All right. Have a great week. Enjoy the weather. It's going to warm back up, I promise. Anyway, so thank you so much for listening. This is Lisa Lisa of The Lisa Lisa Show. Have a beautiful day. Thank you. Bye.